All right, well, welcome back to our sermon. Today is part four of our systematic look at 1 John. And if you'll recall, I have been talking about what I think are the four major themes that are covered: sin, love, discernment, and assurance. And today's topic is assurance. Now, this has been a book that has provided so much fertile soil for preaching that I have to confess to you that I really could go on and talk about some other major themes, and I just want to list them here as we think about some of the other things that are talked about in 1 John: life or eternal life, fellowship, light and darkness, truth and knowledge, and abiding in Christ. These are some of the other major themes that I see that we easily could spend a time talking, a sermon, a Sunday, talking about each one of those. But this is going to be our last day in 1 John. So it's going to be a good one. This is an important one. So I just want to just take a moment before we go any further, and let's pray together about the day. Lord, thank you again for this time that I can teach and preach and talk to our church body. And I just pray that people are really blessed by this, and that today that we end this with a stronger assurance of our salvation and our faith in you, Lord, if we are born again, and that's true of us, that we'll be stronger in that. Thank you so much. We love you and we praise you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, so the assurance that we're talking about would be something along the lines of these questions. It would be the answer to these questions. For example, am I really saved? That is something that a lot of people actually really struggle with. They may know very well the truth of the gospel, and they may believe it, but they may have this lingering question as to whether or not they really are genuine, whether or not they really truly believe, or whether or not even maybe this is truly real. They may have doubts. It probably comes in different ways at different times, but it's something along the lines of, am I really saved? There are some other ways that might be asked. It might be, are my sins really forgiven? Sometimes people have trouble believing that God could forgive their sins, even though that they understand the gospel and they know that all of us are kind of in the same, are definitely in the same boat, that our sins are so terrible that it's like unbelievable to think that God would forgive us. And so sometimes though people struggle with that. Another related question might be, am I truly a child of God? We speak about, you know, all the things that are true of a child of God. Sometimes people may sit and think, you know, hey, maybe that's not really me. Maybe I'm not that. And so assurance answers that and says, yes, you are. You know, I know that I'm saved. I know that my sins are forgiven. I know that I'm a child of God. So let's just go a little deeper on that, on what assurance is. And in particular, we're not just talking about the word assurance, but it's this idea, assurance of salvation. So what is assurance of salvation? And I like this definition, and I piece it together again from several sources. So I don't just make these things up, but I find different definitions that I think say it well, and I might borrow from different ones. But I really like this. It's the inner work of the Holy Spirit that gives a child of God confidence in their salvation and their relationship with God. And I think that is so fitting with what we see in 1 John. And to me, I think this is a very good and very new way for me to look at assurance here as I think about what's said in 1 John and what 1 John teaches. It's not just a confidence that you have in yourself that you just feel a particular way. It is God's Holy Spirit living in you. It's His testimony to you that even though you may have many reasons to doubt whether you're genuine or not, it's His voice and it's what He's saying to you to say, you know what, you're hard on yourself, but you're true and you're genuine. And I'm here and I live in you, and Jesus is true and Jesus is real, and the Bible is true and the Bible is real, and that you truly are a child of God. And so that's the inner work of the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit does in our lives when we're born again. It is this assurance of salvation. It is not saving faith. It should not be confused with saving faith. So we should not look at this and say, you know, hey, you know, I got to have this and I got to be strong in this if my faith is true and my faith is real and it's really a saving faith. No, this assurance is a product of saving faith in our lives. And it's like anything. I like this. It's like many things in the Christian life. It is cultivated and grows deeper and stronger over time. So when you are first born again, you may not have as much assurance as you do 20 years into your walk with Jesus or 40 years into your walk with Jesus. Now, it's not necessarily a time thing either, but it's something that can grow stronger in us, and it could also grow weaker in us depending on how we as soil are cultivated. And so we need to keep that in mind. And I've got that from an article written by John Bloom on desiringgod.org on assurance. And so just want to give him credit for that here. So today, the main passages that we're going to look at having to do with assurance are 1 John 3:19-24 and 1 John 4:13-18. So two passages today. And we'll look at some other smaller passages as we go. But I want to say I had to leave some out because there really are so many here that talk about knowing and being certain. And I didn't want to go overboard and just kind of blow you away with passage after passage. But I would encourage you, you know, as you read 1 John or you ever read it in the future, think about assurance and look at all the ways that he says that we can know and that we can be sure that we really are in Christ. So let's begin. 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 19. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. And so if I were to look in my Bible really quickly, and I were to look, and I were to see, I wonder, what is right before this? Now, I have an idea. I already looked at this. I already know what it was. But if you look back at this before this, it says, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. So he's talking about love, and he's talking about really loving. And I think that this, by this, actually is just as much connected to what precedes it to what's after it. He says, by this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before him. So, and we're going to look at this and see this, but one of the things that really reassures our hearts is the love that we have for Christians, that we are genuinely born again. So that is something that if you think about, sometimes the people that I know that struggle with assurance, I don't see them at all struggling with loving Christians in the church and really having a special bond and connection with them. And so that should reassure your heart that you really are genuinely born again. And he speaks though about, you know, when your heart is troubled. It says, for whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and he knows everything. So think about how I was saying that assurance is not something that is just automatically there in the strongest form that it can be. It's something that needs to be cultivated and grows in your life. So if you're struggling with that assurance and you're having doubts about your salvation, you can know, though, that God is greater than your doubts. And God sees the truth and he knows the truth about you. And so sometimes you may struggle to see the truth about yourself, but everyone else can see it. And what everybody else sees is, hey, this is a person who's part of the family of God, who loves the family of God, and that God is greater than your doubts and your thoughts about yourself, and he knows everything. So keep that in mind. It says, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us. Now, see, this is the better place to be, where your assurance is cultivated and it's strong. And I know that if you do struggle with assurance, that this is where you want to be. It says, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And so having this assurance gives us confidence to approach God in prayer. And there's an assurance in prayer that he hears our prayers and he answers our prayers. And this is when we pray according to his will, it tells us. But we can know that, and we can also do what pleases him. And that can also be a testimony to us. Not that we're going to be perfect, but we should see a pattern of changed behavior in our life when we're in Christ. And many of the people that I know that struggle with assurance, they definitely have this pattern of changed behavior. So if that's something that you're looking, you're struggling with, you know, look at your life and see, you know, how has God changed the way that I behave in my life? And is he really conforming me to Christ? It says, and this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. So a big part of that commandment, what he commands, is that we love one another. So first it's believe, then it's love, and the love is evidence. But we have to always bring it back to what's first and foremost, that is belief, that is faith. That is at the foundation of all assurance. Assurance comes from faith. So we never have assurance in ourselves, you know, that, hey, you know, I can see that I've made it. You know, all assurance really comes, is rooted in the fact that we know that we can't achieve anything on our own. We can't pay for our own sins and still be with God and still have eternal life. It took Jesus. And so everything is based on faith, not based on works, not based on our actions. It's just that after we have that faith, that saving faith, our actions, such as our love for one another, give us assurance that our faith is genuine and true. And so we have that, and we see that here. It says, whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him. In this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. And this brings it home to what I was saying, you know, earlier on to begin this in the definition, that when we believe in God and we have a saving faith in him. So I'm not just talking, oh yeah, I believe in God. No, it's a genuine conversion. We've been born again. We truly believe that Christ died on the cross for our sins, and we've received his gift of salvation. And we believe that he rose again, and we believe that he's gone to heaven to prepare a place for us. So when we have that, we are born again. It says the Spirit comes and lives in us and begins to change us from the inside out. And it's his Spirit that is that voice in us that tells us that Jesus is real, and that what he did for us was true, and that our sins are forgiven. And so that's why we obey. That is why we love, you know, and so on. So those are great verses that remind us of assurance. The other main passage I have here starts 1 John 4:13. It says, by this we know, so it's just like the other one, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us. So we know that we are really in him. We know that we are really abiding in him. It says, because he has given us his Spirit. Again, it's his Holy Spirit that is a voice in us that is saying, you know, that Jesus is real and he's true. And I'll show you that in these verses here. And it says, and we have seen and we testify. The Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. So who's the we in this case? Is it the apostles? Is it the people that walked with Jesus? No, it's not. I mean, that may be true of John, but the we that he's talking about is the people that he's writing to, and the people that are born again, and that includes us if we're born again. It says that we can see and we can know that we're born again because we believe and we testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Another word that's going to be used for that is confess. But with our mouth, we acknowledge and we say that, and we say that with our lives, and we say that with what we do, and it comes out of faith. But we testify, you know, we'll tell others, we share it, we make it known. I think this gives us strong assurance when we actually do that. But we testify that God the Father has sent his Son, God the Son, to be the Savior of the world, and that he is. It says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And so, you know, how do you know that you're born again? Well, you know when you believe and you confess. So you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth. But it's a true confession that you are, this is something that you really believe. And again, going back to people who struggle with an assurance of that, I mean, will you confess Jesus before others? Do you believe him enough that you will confess him and you will witness to him? And I see sometimes this is incredibly out of whack, that the people sometimes who struggle with assurance are not struggling with confessing Jesus publicly, and they love Jesus and they want to proclaim Jesus to everyone. And so I just want to encourage you, if that's you, look at these verses, you know, pay attention to what they're saying, you know. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And so for me, I believe that sometimes there are false conversions. There are cases where people have not really understood the gospel. They have not really understood Jesus. They've had an emotional experience. But sometimes I think that we may be falsely diagnosing that in ourselves, or we could do that in others. It would be even worse. So one thing we need to do when somebody confesses Jesus, we need to take them at their word. And also, you need to take yourself at your word, and you need to believe the confession that you're making before others. And then also, we as Christians need to go out and confess Jesus publicly. And when we do that, this builds up our assurance. Because remember what I was saying, assurance is kind of like muscles, you know, it's something that needs to be built up, that God builds up in us, but it happens when we exercise our faith. This continues, he says, so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. So this is a verse that I use also for love, and it's a great verse. But this assurance, again, it's not coming to believe that, you know, we're somehow better, but it's just coming to believe that God really loves you, you know, and having an assurance in that, and that you're his child, and that you've been adopted into his family. And so it says, whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. So you can know that by abiding in God, abiding in his love, that he's going to abide in you, and that you are true, and that you are genuine. It says, by this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. So I think that confidence is really another word for assurance. We have confidence in our relationship. We have confidence that our sins are forgiven. We can look forward to Jesus coming back. Again, it's not because of what we've done, but it's what he's done on our behalf, and the fact that he loves us and he adopted us as his children. It says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. And I would say that as more and more of God's love comes into your life and begins to grow in your life, that what that is doing is pushing out this fear and uncertainty that you have, really. And the more that you exercise God's love, and the more that you have the opportunity to confess him and serve him, the more and more that gets pushed out of your life, and you have confidence in your relationship with God. And I think that's why I want to thank all of you for the blessing that I have of being able to preach and teach, because this gives me great confidence in my relationship with God, not because I'm doing this, but it's just how it works, that as you speak for God and you proclaim God, you proclaim Jesus Christ before others, that he grows your confidence in your relationship with him. And it's all based on him. It's not based on yourself. So I would encourage you to do that. And his love casts out fear. So those are our main verses. But like I said, there are many other, and some of them are not like a long passage together, a verse here, a verse there. But let's look at some of those other verses that I find especially encouraging here. One is 1 John 2:3, and it says, by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. So again, that goes back to that idea that our conduct doesn't save us. There's no getting saved by works. But again, assurance is something that's built on top of our faith, and we grow in our assurance, and we have that assurance sometimes by looking at the change that we've experienced in our life and the fact that we are becoming obedient to him, more and more obedient. And really, I mean, we ought to be having life change as Christians. And if you're part of Elk Plain Community Church, I hope that you're having life change because you're part of God's church, not just Elk Plain Community Church, but his universal church, and you have his Holy Spirit living in you, and you're growing and you're changing and you're becoming more and more obedient to his commandments. I want that in my life. I know that when I look at my life, I'm more obedient today than I was 5 years ago, than I was 10 years ago, because I'm growing in Jesus. And if you know me and you know me personally, you know I'm still a work in progress, just like you are. All right, so do you remember these verses that we looked at? It's somewhat of a poem or a praying or a quote, prayer or a quote or something, but he's talking about, you know, why he's writing. He says, I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. And when I preached this originally, I made the real emphasis on, you know, growth, you know, growing from being, it's kind of an interesting order, a child, a father, a young man, and how that growth is independent of our age and where we are. But I think maybe even stronger point here is that no matter where you are in your growth, no matter where you are in your maturity, if you're in Christ, your sins are forgiven and you've been born again and you can have assurance. So he writes to children, to fathers, to young men. But again, to each one, he says something along the lines of, you're forgiven. You know him. You've overcome the evil one. And so there's a second part of this. It says, I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. And so, again, it's largely a matter of assurance, knowing that no matter where you are in your age, your physical age, no matter where you are in your spiritual maturity, if you are in Christ, you are born again, your sins are forgiven, you've overcome the evil one. This is another just great verse, could be like one of the main verses here. It says, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. So again, there is strong assurance coming from the fact that we love fellow Christians. Now, I thought of an illustration for this. We just got our golden retriever here recently. His name is Oliver, or goes by Ollie. He likes Ollie, I think. Official name, Oliver. But there's another golden retriever on YouTube that sometimes we watch. His name is Tucker. I don't know if any of you have ever seen that, but sometimes Tucker gets to have a friend over, and his friend is another golden retriever. And Tucker gets so excited when this other golden retriever comes over that he can be with this other golden retriever because they're dogs and they're golden retrievers and they can run around the yard and they're just, you know, just like each other. Except for, I think a lot of times one of the friends that comes over is a girl. And so there's all the more reasons that Tucker loves his fellow golden retriever. Now, I would say it kind of made me think of this as Christians. There is something, and I think this is fellowship is what it is, and that we're in this together, that we have a longing to be with other Christians. We have a longing for this fellowship. We have a special love for one another because we are in it together. And we're kind of like those golden retrievers some way in that way. And we may be hopefully becoming more and more like this. And I think through this shutdown and this experience, I hope that we have a longing to be together and that we'll be excited to see each other. Maybe we have to be careful even when we do see each other that we have to practice some kind of social distancing or something. You know, those are things to consider and think about. But I just have that picture of the golden retrievers running around the backyard that sometimes that's us and our love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. It does remind me sometimes of when we would do those personal greeting times. And I try to get you guys to come back to your pews, to your seats. It was difficult, you know. So I look forward to that again someday. But let's remember that our love for our brothers and sisters in Christ is a strong evidence, and it should give us assurance that we're saved, that we're born again. Going into chapter 5, verse 5, 1 says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. So let's just remember that we can't believe that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the promised one, that he's the Redeemer, that this is all about him and this is all for him. We can't believe that without being born of God, without really being genuine. And so just look at that. When you think about assurance, that should give us assurance when we really do believe, when we pick up the Bible and we read things about Jesus and we believe them. That gives us assurance. And that's really what it's all about. It's about us believing. Now, it doesn't mean that you don't have doubts, that you don't have struggles, but really, do you have a faith in Christ and in what the Bible says about him? And that's what your assurance is based on and built on. 1 John 5:7 says, for there are three that testify, the spirit and the water and the blood, and these agree. And I'm focusing primarily here on the spirit. So the spirit testifies, talking about the testimony of the spirit. So go on a few verses. It says in verse 10, whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. So this testimony that Jesus is true, that Jesus is real, that his death and resurrection and ascension are true and real, that comes from the Holy Spirit. That's his testimony. He is giving us that testimony when he lives within us. And it is an absolute blessing. And that is just one of the just great privileges that we have as a Christian, that we have his Holy Spirit living in us and teaching us and encouraging us in the truth. He says, and this is the testimony that God gave us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. So again, the testimony is that God has given us eternal life. Eternal life is in his Son. This is what the Holy Spirit is saying, and that we believe that, and that we have the Son, and that we have Jesus, and we have life. Now, you know what's next right here. 1 John 5:13, it says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And so when you think about what assurance is not eternal life. Assurance is knowing that you have eternal life. And he says it right here, that John wrote these things so that you could know, because God inspired him to write that, because God wants you to know that you have eternal life. So when we think about what God's attitude is toward us, not only does he want to save us, but he wants us to be confident in our salvation, confident in our relationship with him, knowing that we're born again, and knowing that that's based on faith in Jesus. And that's what he wants for us. And he wants us to live that out to the fullest. So it's a tremendous blessing. So I have just a couple more things to show you here as we close out. But I made this pyramid thing here. And I want to show this to you, because I was thinking about 1 John, and this is kind of how I see it. And this isn't inspired or anything, but it's taking words that come from 1 John and it's sharing some ideas here. But I want to start, you know, at the bottom, at the foundational level here, with the fact that assurance comes from our saving faith and our conversion. But we can't have assurance without that. You know, if we had any kind of a false assurance, that would be bad. You know, if we thought we were saved, but we really are not saved, then that would be bad. I would be doing you a disservice if I talked you into thinking that you're saved and you're not. So the question is, do you have faith in Jesus? Do you believe that he died on the cross for you? Do you believe that he rose again? Do you believe that he went to heaven to prepare a place for you? Do you believe that he's coming back for us? And so that's what it looks like to have saving faith, to really believe that, and also to be yielded to it, to give your life to God. You know, it's like a surrender thing. You know, I believe that and I surrender to that. I can't say I believe that, but I still want to be the Lord of my life, and I just believe that just so that I can be okay, but then I can still do what I want to do. That's really not what it looks like to be saved. So there's a surrender in that. So, but this all starts with that genuine saving faith that you have. And when we are born again, then we have the Holy Spirit giving us assurance. And that's where it starts. The Holy Spirit indwells us, lives in us, and begins to teach us, not only to understand things in the Bible, but just a constant reminder that, yes, you are my child, that you are genuine, that you are real, and that you are saved, not because of what you're doing, but because of what Jesus has done. And Jesus' death and resurrection is real and true, and there's life in him. And so we have that testimony. And then on top of that testimony, we make a confession. You know, we say, you know, you want to let everyone know that you're a Christian. You don't want to be a secret. You want to let people know that you have given your life to Jesus and that you're living for him. And you make that confession, and you make it publicly, and you make it privately, and you make it through words, and you make it through actions. But you live for Jesus. And along with that comes love for God. Love for God, that you love God because you know that he loves you. And you can see that. And I will make that part of the saving faith is, you know, that realizing, you know, that God loves you. But you love God back, and you want to live for Him, and you want to serve Him, you want to obey Him. And part of that that comes along with that is loving your brothers and sisters in Christ. And so it's love for the brothers is the way it's, it would be stated in the Bible. But that comes from being in Christ. And it's also really connected with obedience. All this is really connected, that when we love our brothers and sisters, how do we do that? How is it that we do that? Or is that, that's not just a feeling we have, it's something we do. Well, we do that by obeying God, obeying His commandments, you know, knowing that they're not a burden, that they're a blessing for us and for others. And so along with love comes obedience. And as part of that is fellowship. So these are all things that are leading towards us having assurance in our relationship. So to be part of a body, to be part of a fellowship, I mean, it means so much to me to be part of Elk Point Community Church and to be in fellowship with you guys. And for us to be a church, a local gathering, a local representation of His body. And we live out our Christianity together, and we encourage each other, and we pick each other up when we're down, and we're here for each other. That means so much. And I think that gives us, what comes next is a confidence. We have more and more confidence in our relationship with God, you know, that we're able to live it out with a group of believers. And that leads to this assurance, so confidence, very much like assurance. This is all leading in that direction. And so this is how I see what First John is saying about assurance. And I hope that you've been encouraged by this and you can see, you know, if you're in Christ, and even if you have doubts sometimes, don't just focus on your doubts. Don't just focus on the way maybe that you think that you might be hard to yourself, but look for these things, you know. Do you confess Christ? Do you love God? Do you love the brothers? Are you becoming more obedient? Are you experiencing fellowship? Are you kind of like one of those golden retrievers when it comes to being a Christian? Are you growing in confidence in the Lord and in your relationship with Him? So just want to end again with this week with going into Romans, but take a look at these verses. Paul says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." And so God didn't give us a spirit of slavery and fear. He gave us His Spirit to come and live in us, to tell us that we're adopted, and because we are. And His Spirit bears witness. Again, this is assurance. This is the subject of what we've been talking about today. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And that's assurance stated another way. And we can be so thankful for that. And so again, I hope that this leads to more assurance in your life. Let's take a moment and pray, and then I invite you to sing one more song with us. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the assurance that you give us through your Spirit. That is a work of your Holy Spirit. That's your work in our lives, Lord. And I just pray that that only grows in us, Lord, that our confidence is fully based on you, and that confidence just grows more and more. Thank you so much for this day. We just pray for your guidance and direction and your wisdom, and I pray for all the needs that are in our church body. We thank you so much. We love you and we praise you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.